So, Ray, do you want to give us your top five Bond films just to kick us off?
Yeah, so this will come as no surprise, but Casino Royale is my first. I think that's the best one. I think it reinvigorated the franchise. A View to Kill is my second favorite. There's just, you got the Christopher Walken performance. It's Roger Moore's last Bond film. You got the blimp, San Francisco, all this stuff, famous backdrops and stuff. The Spy Who Loved Me, I put three. I think everybody has seen, pretty much has seen that film, though they might like get it mixed up with, is that the correct name for that film and whatnot? But it's a very famous Bond film. Diamonds Are Forever, I put four. I think that's another one where it's just, everybody's kind of, if you've seen the Bond films, like you've seen that film. And everybody, the saying, is it popular in lexicon? You know, it's transcended through the years. Everybody still kind of references, you know, just the name. It's, the theme song was sampled, I don't know how many times, by other artists too as well. And then five, I put Octopussy, just because that was a big deal in, you know, when that came out. That was like a huge blockbuster hit for, you know, 1983, I think is when it came out. So, I mean, that was like the number one movie for, I don't know how many weeks. That was like, it was like, oh wow. Like, yeah, Roger Moore was the right choice. Like, this is a great movie. This is, you know, we haven't seen anything like this. You know, they have, you know, the strong female characters in that movie too, as well. So yeah, that's what I put for the five.
So in your top five, you've got three Roger Moore films, a Daniel Craig film, and a Connery film. You mentioned earlier Brosnan is your favorite Bond actor. So what is your favorite Brosnan film?
I think the best Brosnan film is probably The World Is Not Enough. I think GoldenEye is the most iconic, mainly because of the video game, although that is an interesting premise that they did with having basically another 00 agent kind of go rogue, which I don't think they've really played with too much. Usually it's been like another 00 agent got killed on a mission and then Bond's kind of following up. But I think The World Is Not Enough. The problem with the Brosnan films is some of the scripts are bad. There's just parts in there that are just really either over the top or just kind of don't really make too much sense. And then they don't really have great villains for him either. I mean, you're looking at, there's no big name villain, really. I mean, Jonathan Pryce is in Tomorrow Never Dies, and he is this over the top, just media mogul. And even kind of the premise of that whole movie doesn't make sense, where it's the West, whether it's America or England, is going to go to war with China, and then he's going to be able to sell more newspapers. Now, I know like the internet's not around at that time, you know, because that's like 1998, I think. But you go back and watch it and you're like, wait, this guy was going to start World War III to sell more newspapers? Like, what are we doing? So it's kind of hard to look back on that. But Brosnan's my favorite. I think he just embodies the character the best. The problem is that he had just terrible like scripts to work with, and he just had the wrong era of being Bond. And if you take him and you put him in the Connery movies, or you put him in the Craig movies or the Moore movies, I think without a doubt people would be like, that's the best Bond ever. And I don't think it would even be a discussion. But he's got the mid to late 90s slot, and that's not the slot that you want when you look back at movies. It was, you know, all these, there's a lot of action movies during that time period. CGI is just kind of coming into its own. It's the time period before really the world changes with the internet and cell phones and technology and all that stuff comes to the forefront of life. But it's this weird time capsule, and it's just kind of awkward even when you go back and watch some of the movies. So yeah.
Moving on, let's talk Bond girls. So let's have a top five. You mentioned a couple of them earlier, but let's flesh it out, one to five.
Yeah, okay. So number one would be Vespa Lind, the beautiful Eva Green, just because it's, you know, massive tie to the Daniel Craig films. She was pretty much an element in all of those films, that came into No Time to Die at the end, you know, and he did miss her, you know, that grave. It was quite sad. But, you know, as well, Eva Green, what an incredible actress. Number two, Solitaire. Obviously, Jane Seymour, gone into that, won't go into it again. Number three, controversial. Everyone's going to be annoyed at this. Christmas Jones, the beautiful. Oh, she's just lovely. And that's probably why I picked her, to be honest with you, because I can just see her in those little shorts and the vest top running around pretending to be a nuclear physicist. But Denise Richards, crikey, she was lovely. I remember her in, I don't know, you guys might have seen it, Wild Things, I don't know, you know, but it's... yeah, I think most people have seen that. But yeah, she was lovely. Not great. Yes, I'm not picking her because she was great. I'm picking her because she was hot. Number four would be Paloma from No Time to Die. So Ana de Armas. Absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Looking forward to seeing her in Ballerina, the John Wick spin-off. Because she's a great actress. She really kicked some ass in that as well. Whilst looking incredibly hot. Brilliant. Should have used her more in that film. I actually preferred her character than Nomi in the film. I think, you know, I won't go into it. I think Nomi was put in that for a reason. It wasn't really needed, to be honest with you. She could have been awesome, but they really underused her. And they kind of put a bit more focus on Paloma for what was probably 20-minute scene. It was a bit odd. But she was great. And then last one, Tracy Bond. From Honor Majesty's, the only wife of 007. And that ending sucked in that film. I remember watching that for the first time when I was young, and that sucked because you did not see that coming at all. And she was wonderful. She was harder. She beating up Blofeld, and she was, you know, she was fantastic. She probably actually deserves to be higher up. I put her at five. She probably should have been at three. I only picked Christmas Jones because she's hot. But yeah, Tracy Bond, fantastic, number five, yeah.
So when you think of Bond, one of the things I think of is the Bond theme. So what are your top five Bond theme songs? So there has to be a theme song, I'm afraid. It can't be. You can't throw in Surrender in this one, Evan.
All right, well, if I can't throw that one in, then I would obviously stick to Honor Majesty's Secret Service. That's my favorite, and that's the one that I listen to the most. After that, Thunderball. Again, I love the sort of maximalism of Thunderball, the movie, and I think it's probably my favorite score. I just love the sort of the booming voice in Thunderball. The lyrics are very much on the nose, and it's... you know, I like the sort of representation of Thunderball. It could be talking about Bond. It could be talking about Largo. I like the sort of ambiguity with it. And I really do enjoy the sort of underwater theme. I think after that, Duran Duran's A View to a Kill. Just such a good rock anthem and really befitting of the movie as well. It's a very, you know, high pace action movie. It's so 80s. And I think it fits so well into that context. Four, probably Goldfinger. Again, like most other parts of the movie, Shirley Bassey is that iconic voice. And just the orchestration is again, larger than life with loud horns. And I really, really enjoy that. And then probably rounding it out, I would go with Goldeneye from Tina Turner. Kind of echoing, I would say, Shirley Bassey. I feel like she sort of has that same sort of, she's going for the same sort of, bombastic, very loud theme. And I really, really like that.
So moving on, what are your top five Bond villains? So these can be your main villain or any of the henchmen.
I've said Silva before because I think he's just so frightening and just fascinating at the same time. Next, Jaws, actually. So Spy Who Loved Me and Moonraker, right? He's just so much bigger than Roger Moore. And I think there's a great Tom and Jerry sort of relationship there. Kind of cartoonish, and it's fun, but there's still this real threat between from Jaws, where I think they try to imitate that Inspector with Dave Bautista, but I don't think it worked out as well because I don't think Dave Bautista is as big as the actor that plays Jaws, but I see the inspiration and everything there. Then after that, Max Zorin in Mayday. Max is just so evil and willing to sacrifice Mayday, right, at the very end and everything. And he even even though him and Mayday kind of have a thing, he's happy, using Mayday to distract Bond and to go and sleep with Bond, basically, which, you know, I think that's very nefarious and almost like inhumane in a way, because I feel like when, as men, you know, when you're with a woman, like, I think there's a certain attachment and protectiveness there, but clearly he only sees Mayday as a tool, and so he doesn't even like treat her as a person in that sense, in many ways. And Mayday is really just really good villain, like she's a good like opponent for Bond, but at the very end you see a change of heart in her, which I kind of like. And then next would be Le Chiffre from Casino Royale, just because both in the book and in the film, actually maybe more so in the film, because Mads Mikkelsen is fantastic. There's just something, again, so I don't know what the right word is here, but you know, like frightening almost, right? With the blood and the eye, and just the way he looks into thing, looks into, you know, Bond, and how he can shake up Bond and play Bond too. I think he's fantastic, even though he's not maybe a physical match for Bond. And then lastly, Oddjob, right? One of the first, I think, henchmen I ever saw, right? And he's so small yet so dangerous, and really gives Bond a run for his money, even up to the very, very end in Fort Knox. So I think that's fantastic as well.
I'm a big Oddjob fan. And to your point around Jaws, I actually met Richard Kiel about 20-odd years ago now, and he is a big, big man. I think he's a legit 7'1". If I remember, but yeah, I would have been maybe 16 or 17 at the time, and he came to like a local event where they have like stalls and celebrities and such, and he was the celebrity on hand signing autographs. It was a nice guy, but the woman he was with, a kind of his assistant or whatever, she was kind of shooing people away if they were taking too long talking to him, so that kind of put a dampener on things. But he is a huge individual, that's for sure. Okay, next up, I'm not going to make you do top five because there's only six to choose from, so I'm going to make you do a top six. Of the six Bond actors, how would you rank them 1 to 6?
Yeah, so Connery's number one, as we discussed. Craig is a very close second. Number three is going to be Brosnan, for reasons I think we'll get to in a little bit. He does have a personal connection there. But, you know, it's always been between Brosnan and Moore for that third spot. But at this point, I'd say Brosnan 3, Moore number 4, Dalton 5, and Lazenby, who I don't think is all too bad, he's going to be my number 6 because he only did one.
I agree. It's hard to place Lazenby higher than that, or much higher than that, because of doing the one film. You could argue maybe it's higher than Dalton because he only did two, but those two, I think, will be quite consistent in many people's favourite Bond list.
So on the rating room, we like to talk ratings, so I thought we could do some top fives, if that's okay. So let's start with, what would you say are the top five Bond films? So you mentioned Skyfall as your favourite. I'm guessing that's number one.
Yeah. Skyfall number one.
What about the rest?
Number two, I'd put From Russia with Love. Number three, it maybe You Only Live Twice. That, again, we had lots of gadgets with the volcano opening up and the rockets going through and that. Living Daylights with Timothy Dalton, it's hard to say put them into five. Offhand, I could say this, that and the other, but I'd get them wrong and I might miss a film out. Really, I need time to write a list out and then I could put them in a permanent order.
But, we've got four. So we've said Skyfall, and we've got, yeah, You Only Live Twice.
From Russia with Love,
second. From You Only Live Twice, maybe third.
Maybe third, yeah.
Living Daylights, you mentioned, as one of the Dalton films, of course.
Yeah.
Any other Connerys? Or, I mean, you mentioned Roger Moore earlier. Any of his films stand out, or you're not really a fan of them?
Well, only the first one, Roger Moore, 1973. Live and Let... Live and Let Die, that's it. Yep. Yeah, that was a good one. But to me, Roger Moore stayed a bit too long. It got a bit creaky at the end. Yeah. But I would put maybe Dr. No, which, again, was the first one. So you had to compare it to the first one.
Set the bar.
Yeah.
So let's say, as your unofficial top five, Skyfall, From Russia with Love,
yeah.
You Only Live Twice.
Yeah.
Living Daylights. Doctor No. It's a good list. I don't want to sway your thinking, but what did you think of Goldfinger? Because for me, that was my favourite Connery film.
Top five, I'd put it top six.
Okay.
You know, it's...
That's a good answer. So, moving on, Bond girls. So, you mentioned... can you narrow it down to five? So, you mentioned...
Daniela Bianchi.
So, as Tatiana Romanova. Would you put her as number one? Because you mentioned Ursula Andress as well. Or Honey Rider, of course, from Dr.
Well, yeah. And also, we're talking about Honey Rider or Ursula Andress in 1962... and Daniela Bianchi in 63. And yes, they were beautiful then, but they are now in their 80s, if they're still alive. So anyway, those two...
Well, let's go with as of at the time.
Honor Blackman, I didn't rate her. I'm sorry. No. I didn't sort of... Yeah, good actress, but not as a Bond girl. To me, a Bond girl has to have, you know, everything, you know. I've got to go through. It's hard to say top five. Those two I've mentioned, Danielle and Ursula. It's hard to say. I'd have to have a good think of top five. Most of them, like Daniela Bianchi, beautiful but soon forgotten. Honor Blackman was famous before she became a Bond girl. Ursula Andress was one of the few who became famous and stayed famous. It is hard to remember the leading ladies in Bond films. But they're all very good. And they all had the sex appeal.
Let me throw some names at you then. Not to sway you in any way, but just to kind of jog your memory a bit. So from Her Majesty's Secret Service, there was, of course, Tracy, who married James Bond, or Teresa DiVincenzo.
Oh, yeah, Diana Rigg.
Diana Rigg, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you see, my memory went. Diana Rigg, yeah. I'd put her in the top one. lovely. I mean, she had that girly touch with a touch of sex appeal. Yeah, Diana Rigg, yeah.
Going back through. So, obviously, you mentioned Pussy Galore, played by Holland Blackman.
Yeah.
Do you remember Jill and Tilly Masterson from Goldfinger as well?
Oh, yeah. The character was killed off, I think, yeah.
Yes, I believe you're right, yeah. One of the ones covered in gold paint.
That was Shirley Eaton. Was it Shirley Eaton?
You could be right there, yeah.
Yeah. Again, we're going back to the 60s, but Diana Rigg was in 69.
I'll flick through some of this. So, Diamonds Are Forever, you've got Plenty O'Toole. Tiffany Case.
That girl in 71. Diamonds Are Forever.
You had Tiffany Case, you had Plenty of Tool. There was Marie.
Oh, no.
There was Bambi and Thumper as well.
The lead girl in 71, Diamonds Are Forever.
The character was Tiffany Case. Yes. Jill St. John.
Jill St. John, yes. I can see her now. Yeah. I'd have to have a list and then I could remember them, how they looked, and then put it in a list. Yeah.
We may go unofficially here again with the... But let's... I'll go through some of my notes because it's good to remember as well. So the Man with the Golden Gun, you had... Maud Adams, of course, who was in Octopussy as well. She played two different Bond girls. And also a cameo in A View to a Kill that was uncredited. So technically three different Bond girls. Triple X from The Spy Who Loved Me. Anya Amosova, the Russian spy, was one of the Bond girls. Dr. Holly Goodhead from Moonraker. That was her name. We don't like to talk about Moonraker on the pod. It's probably my least favourite. Moving on into ours, so Octopussy, played by Maud Adams. View to a Kill, you had Mayday, played by Grace Jones.
Yeah.
And also she was a villain, technically, as well.
So, but she saved Bond's life, didn't she?
She did in the end, yeah. Stacey Sutton was probably the main Bond girl of that piece. Moving further along, as we get into the Dalton era, we've got Pam Bouvier. That was in License to Kill.
Yeah, and in a Pierce Brosnan film, who played, was it Elektra?
Elektra King, yes. Elektra King.
She was beautiful.
Let me find one of the top. She was played by Sophie Mosso.
Yeah, and she was in Braveheart. Yeah, she's beautiful. Yeah.
And then when you get into the Craig era, we have obviously in Madeline, who was his love interest in Spectre and No Time to Die, played by Lee Sudow. And that's my apologies for my pronunciation there.
Samantha Bond.
Played Moneypenny. Samantha Bond played Moneypenny in the Brosnan.
That's films. It. Yeah, she's.
And of course, in Die Another Day, Halle Berry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As well. So, lots to choose from. We've probably gone beyond the top five, but we'll. We'll maybe in the notes put down an unofficial top five. So let's again go from good to bad villains. So you mentioned Blofeld.
Yeah.
If we had to pick a top five, who else might be on that list?
Robert Carlyle played someone who'd got a bullet in his brain.
Reynard.
Yeah, he was in
The villain. World Is Not Enough.
Yeah. Sean Bean played an agent with James Bond, and they were blowing up a Russian plant or something, and Sean Bean, the character, was captured and he was shot dead, but he came back. Everybody thought he'd died, and I can't remember his name.
So he was 006, Alex Trevelyan, or also known as Janus, which was the Janus Syndicate, which he headed up.
Yeah, Sean Bean, a good actor. Again, he can play good baddies, if you can get my drift. Robert Carlyle. There were quite a few, but Bardem, Xavier Bardem, is it?
Javier Bardem,
yeah. He, to me, was a brilliant baddie, and as was Donald Pleasance. They oozed badness. Good actors can play the part well, and that's it, you know, for... You've got to have a real good baddie.
What about some of the henchmen? Would you include any the likes of Jaws or an Odd Job? Would you include any of those?
Odd Job. I'm just going to say Odd Job was a brilliant henchman. He was brilliant with the bowl rat. Jaws, to me, it was a bit funny. You know, I don't sort of rate him as a real bad man, because in the film, he became a goodie. I think it was the second one.
Moonraker.
I'd put Odd Job there among the top five. Badham, I think him and Donald Pleasance.
Top of the pile. That's good list. So let's do one more top five. And that's on theme song. So top of the list, I'm guessing, would be Matt Monro.
Yeah, Matt Monro. To me, it appeals to me. From Russia with Love, it was part of the 60s, and everything about the 60s were great. I mean, the 60s to me was the Beatles, the Space Race, the Kennedys, and James Bond. Those were the swinging 60s, and. The songs, well, there was great music about it. And the James Bond songs, Dr. No was very catchy. Obviously, my favourite is From Russia With Love. And as we went on, there was Shirley Bassey and Tom Jones. I think Tom Jones sang Thunderball. Yeah. Well, I'm a fan of Tom Jones. The song was great and powerful. Shirley Bassey, Goldfinger, and something else she sang.
She sang three Bonds on in total. Oh. She did Goldfinger, she did Diamonds Are Forever, and Moonraker.
Yeah, yeah. So the singer appeals to me as well as the songs. You can have a good song and not a very good singer or group that you're not attracted to. Whereas if you get a good singer and a bad song, you know, it make different. But yeah, they're my top from Russia with Love. Matt Monro, it's to me, it's my number one, and then a few more follow on. Adele and Skyfall, I liked it.
That's a good list. So, final thing from a rating and ranking point of view. So we had six men took the mantle of James Bond. I'm guessing. So we talked about in terms of who's the top. You've got Daniel Craig as the top, a hair above Sean Connery in second place. Yeah.
Second, I think Pierce Brosnan was a good actor.
So Pierce Brosnan at number three.
I'd put him in third. Now, a lot of people wouldn't, but he would to me. And then I'd put Timothy Dalton, although he only made two appearances. George Lazenby only made one appearance. And Roger Moore made the most appearance. I'd put him in the top six at number six. Nice bloke, entertainer, all that. But for Bond, you've got to be a cold-blooded killer with a touch of sex appeal. And you've got to have the face of a mean bastard and be cool, calm and collected. Daniel Craig was, and so was Sean Connery.
That's a good list. Well, that's kind of the end of what I've got planned for this. Anything else you wanted to mention about James Bond or your love of or memories of?
Well, again, you need a bit of time. As you get older, you start to forget things. What's your name again? you forget things, but... happy memories. Thanks to my son here, he's got me the whole James Bond set, and I watch him now and again, and it's the great. There's great memories from the 60s right up to present day, and I hope whoever gets the part of James Bond is a good enough actor to play him.
That seems a good thing to end on. So thank you for being on the podcast. Yeah, really appreciate
check
it.
Post.
It will be coming via carrier pigeon any day now.
Well, there's no carrier pigeon. I've got bird flu. bangles me money.
Well, you know, you get what you pay for on this podcast, that's for sure.
Kids. Thank you.